heart inquires that I find where you shine through the dirt and all the mire.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Explorations. I'm Ethan. In the last two programs, I talked about Germany. Even though I love that country, actually, the German English were driving me crazy. And today, I will take you to another European country, that is France. In today's program, I will talk about something related to French culture and history. And I hope you guys enjoy it. But I see the beautiful gem that you're becoming. So let's walk first, not yet the time for running. Someone made the wind and rain and snow fall. With you I'll pray a song of where our hearts fall. I'll never look back, I'll leave behind the way things used to be. So hand in hand, let's plant these seeds. Welcome to you and me. In 1787, English statesman Horace Walpole complained of the French insistent airs of superiority. Back then, they had a right to them. For 200 years, all civilized people in the Western world spoke and read French. International business and diplomacy were conducted nearly exclusive in French up until World War I. Today, the French have graciously learned some English and even some Japanese. Yet they do retain a great sense of dignity about their country, a love of their language and an enjoyment of life, making France special. Dress and architecture in France say a great deal about how the French relate to each other and to the world, and where they get that sense of superiority. One of the first things you will notice across France is the unique radiating star patterns of the roads and streets. The whole country is organized in these wheels, or circles, and all roads eventually lead to Paris. To some extent, the French operate in circles. Interlocking circles of relationship link the private worlds of family, sex, and friends with the public worlds of art, work, architecture, and politics. There is a grand philosophy for living among the French, and these circles help remind us of that.
Doubt, but God's melody, the light shines through, telling me, son, this life ain't about you, but about the glory and the sovereign unity, guided by the Father, forgiving crimes, community. And so I seek to cherish you in every little way, not what you can do for me, but what we together can say. That love shines through the hedonistic, murky grind, and sings humility and shouts peace, yours and mine.
The supreme example in Paris street planning is a circle around the Arc de Triomphe, affectionately known as the 12, the star. A dozen grand boulevards lead to this star. Each offers a dramatic angle of the mighty arc, usually flying a huge tricolor French flag, the country's national symbol since 1790. You can see straight down the Champs-Élysées, east to the Concorde and Louvre, and west all the way out to La Défense and the New Arc. Talk about city planning. Here are hundreds of years of rights of way, still working and still developing. Once you reach the Arc, however, you face half a dozen lanes of traffic going around it, each vehicle seeking its preference among 12 exits, with no visible evidence of established rules or priorities.
Back, I'll leave behind the way things used to be.
evidence of human communities date back 30,000 years in this part of Europe. In Brittany, the western extreme of the country, stone monoliths at Carnac, 4,000 years old, are credited to the Beaker people. While little is known of these people, they lurk in the genes of French. In 60 million Frenchmen can't be run, the Canadian authors report, it occurred to us that the French are really the Aborigines of France. The word Aborigines is usually associated with primitive peoples now, but it really just means original. The ancestors of the French go back several ice ages. They are not a people who, like North Americans, arrived in the midst of a primitive culture, erased it, and started over. They have always been there. In 900 BC, Celtic tribes began spreading west across the Rhine, and by the 5th century BC, they dominated most of the France and Belgium, with the more adventurous crossing the Atlantic to the British Isles. The Celts were not an homogeneous people, but organized into small, fierce tribes, speaking different languages and constantly fighting among themselves. They adjusted to the geography where they settled. We know so little of the people who were already there, we must assume they were assimilated. In the mountains of what we now call Switzerland, the Helvetii established dominance. In the northwest, the Belgae fended off the Scandinavian tribes. The Celtic people in the south dwelt among the Greeks, who are credited with founding the city of Massilia in 600 BC. The Romans called the land of these Celtic peoples Gaul or Gallia. In 121 BC, they conquered the Mediterranean coastline, and most of what is now the Provence and Languedoc. Julius Caesar then won domination over the rest of what is to become France during the Gallic Wars. The Romans built major edifices you can still visit today, and the people were somewhat assimilated into the empire. Emperor Claudius I, a Roman born in the city that is now Lyon, the exports of wine, food, and pottery prospered, as it still does today. Okay, that's all about today's program. Tomorrow is May Day, and I hope you guys enjoy your holiday. Especially to Ijian, Milan Bocasio, good night. I can't help but break down and cry.